Kids can head on to class if they haven't already. Today we're taking a little break this morning from our studies through the book of Exodus, and we're going to find ourselves kind of all over the Word of God today, but the first place we are going to go is the book of Exodus, chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17, you know, if you're studying along with us through the book of Exodus, we're only up to chapter 14, I believe, right now, but chapter 17 is where we find our text this morning. Today we're going to talk about something I mentioned last week. It's fun. Sunday mornings, it's a good time. You know, you really want to preach something that's really uplifting, really happy, really joyful, something like that. Today we're going to more so look at something that's just practical. And hopefully it'll be helpful to us today to look at this together, because it is something that every one of us struggles with. And if you think you don't, then you're fooling yourself, because you do. We all struggle with this. And so today, Lord willing, with the Lord's help here, we're going to try our best to see from the Scripture, how do we deal with temptation? How do we deal with temptation in our lives? Now, your temptations and mine may be very different from one another. Everybody has them, though. It's something that everybody faces. The only way you can say, well, I'm never tempted, is if you just give in to every temptation that comes your way and never think twice about it. But temptation is something that is a fact of this life, and it is something, though, that we don't have to give into. We don't have to fall and fail to. We can learn some things from the Scripture about how to deal with those temptations. So we'll start with a word of prayer. We'll give some definitions, and we'll go into the Bible. Lord, we thank you for this day and for your word. Lord, help me now as I do my best to preach what you've laid on my heart for this week. Lord, I pray, please help us to consider, Lord, just our own walk with you, Lord, our own daily lives, as we consider how we can best attack this problem of temptation. Lord, help us never to fall and to fail, Lord, willingly. Lord, help us to always do our best to strive to live in holiness as you command us. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Temptation, the definition of the word temptation is the act of tempting. Well, that's fun, right? That's an easy definition. I like those. Enticement to evil by arguments, by flattery, or by the offer of some real or apparent good. So enticement to evil. I'm trying to get you to do something that is evil. Now, temptation is, of course, that daily struggle. We've mentioned that yours and mine may be different. My temptation may be, there may be an opportunity for me to fall into pride, or there may be an opportunity for me to take the last cookie out of the cookie jar instead of my kids, even though I had 10 and they had 2. You know, whatever it may be, temptations differ for all of us, but they are there nonetheless. And it is always important for us to at least try to put up a fight, and try to live in holiness as the Bible describes what we're supposed to live like. There's so much damage that can come from falling into temptation, allowing that temptation to turn into sin. And that's one of the first things I want to look at and show you today about temptation, is really that being tempted is not inherently sinful. I've heard people say, well, just to be tempted is a sin. How would you live? I mean, Christ was tempted. So we can't say that just being tempted is a sin. We have a human nature. We have temptations. And not all temptations are sinful temptations. You know, we've used the phrase, I'm sure you've probably used the phrase before, oh, that's tempting. You know, I want to double scoop of ice cream instead of a single scoop of ice cream. Well, that's tempting. You can say, well, that's gluttony. Maybe not in that situation. So not every temptation is a temptation to sin. And being tempted is not inherently sinning. There's two definitions. Now, we already looked at the definition of temptation. The definition of tempt is enticement to evil. And then the second definition that's very important to this concept is the definition of evil. Now, evil, as a noun, is either natural or moral. And so it's important to know that there's two different distinctions here. Natural evil is anything which produces pain, distress, loss or calamity, or which in any way disturbs the peace, impairs the happiness, or destroys the perfection of natural beings. Now, we talked about evil a little while ago in our studies of the Word of God, and we talked about how God, there's times in the Bible where God thinks evil towards people. And so when we think about the word evil, we always think about sinful, bad. And yes, I understand that, and that's most of the time true, but evil can also just mean something that harms someone else, And so when God thinks evil towards someone, he's oftentimes in the Bible thinking evil towards those who have harmed Israel, those who would be a damage to his people. And so he is thinking harm towards them in order to keep them from harming his children. And so it's not a sinful or a wrong thing in that case, in that situation. We come to Exodus 17 and verse number 7, and the Bible teaches and tells us, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah for the children of Israel, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? So here we find God can be tempted by the behavior of those who claim to serve him. Now, the children of Israel, the way they tempted the Lord, the way that they caused the Lord to think evil towards them was by asking the question, is God even here? And there's a lot of people that ask that question today, and sometimes sincerely, sometimes not, but they just have this mindset that God's not around, God doesn't care, God doesn't see, God won't judge, and they live like that. And the Bible says when Israel lived like that, it tempted the Lord. Hebrews 4:15 says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. And so we know that the Lord Jesus Christ, while he was here on this earth, he faced all the temptations that we face, all the things that our flesh lusts for and desires for, all the things in our life that can tempt us. Those temptations came against Christ as well, and yet he chose not to indulge in those temptations one time, and he was sinless, the Bible teaches. And so we understand that just to be tempted is not inherently a sin. Now, if we dwell on that temptation and we allow that temptation to just kind of take over our minds, now we're getting into that sin territory of doing wrong and allowing setting ourselves up for failure. I know that there's been times, I know people who have been tempted by something for months at a time before they finally either got over it or got tripped up by it. And some of you might even be filling in the blanks in your head already of something maybe in your life, of maybe it was a temptation to do wrong in a relationship. And for weeks on end, you're battling this temptation of, you know, oh man, next time we're together, what are we going to do? Next time, whatever it may be. I remember when my wife and I first started our relationship together, we were, you know, courting because we were those good old Baptists. We didn't date, you know, that was bad. We were courting. And all that meant was we didn't go anywhere alone. We always had somebody else there with us so that we weren't tempted as much. And so we, you know, of course, that lasted a little while, and then we dated for forever and finally got married after 5 years. But when you meet your spouse at 15, it's a long waiting game. And so there were steps that we took to help prevent temptation because you can be tempted by something for a long, long time. And you got to daily face that struggle. Some people, every single time they go to the grocery store, they walk by that aisle full of alcohol and they're tempted. And they got to deal with that the rest of their life. And they've got to face that temptation every time. And they've got to beat that temptation every time. Some people, every time they open up their phone or their tablet or whatever it may be with an internet connection, they're tempted to look at things they ought not. And they got to face that temptation every single day. And so the fact that we are tempted is just a fact of life. It's what we do about that temptation that matters. Turn with me to James chapter number 1 in your Bibles. James chapter number 1. We're going to be bouncing around in the book of James quite a bit today, talking about temptation. James chapter number 1. So the first thing we see about temptation that we need to kind of set as a basis is that temptation is not of itself inherently sinful. I know some people get really discouraged. They say, why do I have these feelings? It's like, well, because you're human. There was a preacher one time. He said that there was a gentleman in his church that came to him. He was all concerned. He said, I don't know if you've noticed, I'm starting to see these boys are starting to look at these girls, preacher. And the preacher, he said, without missing a beat, he told him, thank God. Have you considered the alternative? And it's like, yeah. That's a natural thing for a young man to look at a young woman, and a young woman to look at a young man. Like, that's a natural thing that God gave us for a purpose, as long as it's kept within its scriptural bounds. And so just because you are tempted, that doesn't mean you've done something wrong. But when you dwell on that temptation, or if you go out of your way to find temptation, which some of you may know exactly what I'm talking about. Some people, they know if I go here, I'll be tempted. And they say, you know what? I'm going to go. And they've already set themselves up for failure. So the first thing we find is temptation is not inherently sinful by itself. But the second thing, and one of the very, very important thing here, is James chapter 1, starting in verse number 13. We'll read a few verses together here. James 1, verse 13, the Bible says, "Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." Now, I'm going to pause there for anybody who would catch what we just read. God cannot be tempted with evil. And in the Old Testament, we saw that God was tempted. That's where it's important to understand that word evil. There's that moral definition and that natural definition. It's not a contradiction. It's just a different type of evil we're looking at. Verse number 14, though, "Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." And then that verse 16, "Do not err, my beloved brethren." I loved that verse growing up because it was an easy one to memorize, you know, for scripture recital and all that stuff. "Do not err, my beloved brethren." But boy, that's a hard one to live. It's one of those verses, very simple. Don't err. Don't do wrong. Well, if only it was that easy, right? The Bible could just be that one verse. Don't do wrong. Do not err. The end. But we need a little more than that. We need some instruction on how do we not err? How do we not fall to temptation? And so temptation comes from our own lust. That's why everybody faces different temptations. We get guilty sometimes as Baptists or as any kind of religious person is, you know, most often the preacher will know. I'll know if I preach on a certain sin. There are sins that I can preach on, and everybody in this room be like, "Amen, preach it," because nobody thinks they're going to, you know, that's not their sin. And you know, we can preach on abortion and how wrong it is, and for the most part, 99% of the people in this room are probably going to be like, yeah, because it's not your sin, and that's not something you plan on having any struggles with. Same with homosexuality or anything like that. But if we flip the script and say, all right, we're going to preach on pride, it's a little less exciting for everybody because pride's something we all struggle with, right? If we're going to preach on lust, you know, it's a little less, we struggle with that too. So we get real behind sometimes those sermons about sins that we don't think we'll ever commit. But we all have sins that we do struggle with, temptations that do grab a hold of us more than others. And so we see here that our own lust, your lust, my lust, the person down the road's lust, our own lust is where those temptations come from. That's why different things affect people differently. But there is a positive side. If there could be a positive to temptations, it is this. It is found in James chapter 1 also, but in here we're looking at verse number 2. The Bible says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." I'm just being honest, that's an odd verse. If you just read that verse, you think, why would I be joyful to have a whole bunch of different kind of temptations come my way? That's a weird statement if you don't keep reading. Verse 3, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." So here's the concept. And I don't know if this happened to any of you. I've heard it told as a story before, but this actually happened to me in, I believe, fourth grade. That I don't remember for sure. But we're in class, and the teacher's going to do this test or whatever for us. And we were given, I believe it was Skittles, because, you know, they're amazing. And we were given a certain number of Skittles, and we were told, okay, I got to go to the principal's office. I'm coming back. If you haven't eaten any of your Skittles, then I'll give you more. If you have eaten them, then that's all you get. Anybody familiar with this torture method? Okay. We've done the same thing to our kids before just to see what would happen, and it's about what you would expect for kids that are younger than 6. But I remember sitting there thinking, well, she could only be gone so long. You know, our class is over in 10 minutes, and of course, some kids, it's like instant gratification, right? I'm just, oh, this is all I want. And then they regret that when everybody else starts getting their extra, everybody that didn't grab it right away. And so with this temptation, what we see here with this opportunity that comes with temptation is the trying of our faith worketh patience. Now, I see that test that I was put through at a young age, and I see exactly how this works, because when you are tempted and you're able to overcome it, it's almost like it just builds an extra layer of protection in your life. It's that much easier to gain victory the next time because you have a little bit more patience. You have a little bit more faith. You're a little bit more tried and true. But if you never face any temptation and then all of a sudden a big temptation comes, it's like you're defenseless. It's almost like you build up a callus against temptation the more you face temptation and overcome it. That's the thing. You have to overcome it. And so we'll get to a couple of the things of how we can do that in a moment. But that is, if there is a positive to being tempted, there's some situations where you can't help it. You have to go to work. And maybe you know that person at work is going to try their best to get you to do whatever. Maybe they know you're a Christian. They just like pick it on you. They're going to try and get you to cuss. They're going to try and get you to laugh at something you shouldn't laugh at or whatever it may be. They're just going to mess with you and try and tempt you to do wrong. And you can't help it. You have to go there. You have to make your living. You have to pay your debts. But you can go in there knowing if I can get through this day, I'll be a little bit stronger for tomorrow. My faith will be a little stronger. My patience will be a little stronger and I'll be better for it. So if we can take away a positive temptation, I would say that would be it. Now, verse number 12 of James chapter 1, the Bible says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So there's a reward for enduring temptation, for getting through that temptation without fail. Now, every temptation, this is the hardest part about temptation. If you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and Luke 4, and then that'll be all we need to go to for a while. 1 Corinthians 10 and Luke 4. Now, the next verse we're going to is my least favorite verse concerning temptation because it's so convicting to me as an individual. This is one of those sermons where, like I said, you know, some sermons, not everybody struggles with that sin, and so it's easy to cheer it on. Some sermons are easier to preach because, well, you know, it's not my, doesn't hit me at home, but temptation comes to all of us, and we're all face it, and so this next truth that we find is very convicting to me because makes every failure hurt that just that much worse. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13, the Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. We like to think, well, this is just so hard that, you know, my temptation must be so much harder than your temptation. And I tripped and I fell because it was just harder than what you faced. The Bible says there's no temptation that's taken you that's not common to everybody. Now, common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So what the Bible says here is, you're not tempted any more special than anybody else is. Your temptation you face is not any harder than somebody else's temptation. It may be different, but it's not harder. And there's not a single temptation in this world that God hasn't made a way for us to not fail. That's the hard part for me, because I look back at times when I've fallen into temptation and I've let my anger go or whatever it may be, and I've done something wrong, and I look back and I think, God said I didn't have to make that choice. I didn't have to let that temptation take hold of me. There was a way out that he made for me. I just didn't take it, or I didn't see it, or I didn't want it. And so that's a convicting thought to me when I think about temptation, because it's just that none of us have to fail. None of us have to fall to temptation. God is faithful, and God has made a way of escape. Now, the hard part of that is that it's hard, right? My daughter, I won't say which because I don't want to, you know, poor pastor's kids, they're always sermon illustrations. But my daughter, she has said a couple of times, it's so hard to be good. And I look at her and I'm trying not to laugh because, like, I agree with her, but I'm at her age and what I'm trying to tell her to do, it shouldn't be that hard. You know, like, just listen. Just don't bite your siblings or don't punch your brother in the face. Like, this should not be hard. Like, these are little things, you know. Don't draw with the marker all over the wall. These things shouldn't be that hard, but they're little kids, you know. And so sometimes we as Christians, we think, oh, it's so hard to be good. And again, I just think, like, the Lord looking down, like, is it really? Or is it just your immaturity in the faith? Is it just your lack of spiritual maturity because you don't read your Bible and you don't pray and you don't study and you don't face temptation with the Word of God and build up this defense against it? It's really not as hard as we think it is if we'll just go into temptation more prepared. And so I think about my little girl, you know, it's so hard to be good. And she's crying, like, she wants to be good, but it's just so hard. And it makes me feel a little better when she does that, because I'm like, yeah, I'm right there with you, honey. Sometimes it's really hard to be good. It's really hard to be good. But of course, I tell her, no, it's not. because I'm that loving father with so much compassion. It's hard to be good dad. No, it's not. It's not hard. Anyways, all right. Now, with this knowledge that temptation is not in and of itself sinful, it is not something that comes from God. It's something that comes from our own flesh and our own desires. And it is something we can have victory over. With that information, let's go and look at Christ's temptation, of course, very famous passage in the Bible, and see what else we can learn about, okay, how do we, knowing what we know about temptation, how do we attack this thing? How do we defeat this thing? How do we defend ourselves when it comes to temptation? So that's where we have Luke chapter 4, and we'll start in verse number 1. Luke chapter 4 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan." This is, of course, right after he was baptized with John in the Jordan River, beginning of his ministry. The Bible says, "Returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread." Now, a couple of things. First of all, in another passage we read that he went into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. That was the purpose of going. But also, a lot of times when I hear people retell this story, they act as though he was hanging out in the wilderness for 40 days, and then when he was really, really hungry, the devil came and started tempting him. But that's not what we just read. If you look at the verse again, verse number 2, being 40 days tempted of the devil. He's been tempted the whole time. The devil's been after him the whole time. All 40 days there's been temptation. But now at the end, now at that 40th day, now there's temptation that has to do with food. That's not as fun. Now, I don't know about you. I've never fasted 40 days. I think maybe once I fasted 40 hours, and that wasn't really that intentional. It was just the way it had to be. Fasting is not enjoyable, but it is a very, very underrated thing in the Christian life. The Lord fasted, obviously, we just read about that. But what do we see when we see Christ coming into these temptations, when we see Christ facing these temptations, what is he doing in the wilderness that we already see? He's not eating. And so that would be, of course, fasting. Now, why is this important? We won't for time's sake, but if you were to go to Matthew 17, we read about the disciples. They've been given power to cast out devils and heal people. And there's this one tricky devil that won't be cast out. He's just causing problems. And so they bring the kid to the Lord. The Lord casts out the devil. They say, "Lord, why couldn't we do it?" And he said, "Because of your unbelief." But he also said, and this kind goeth not forth but by prayer and fasting. So the Lord said, there's some things that you just can't accomplish without prayer and fasting. And boy, that's not a popular verse with us Baptists, right? We like our potlucks. We like our food. I know some Baptist preachers that can't stand and preach anymore because they're so large they have to sit on a stool to preach. Lord, help me not to ever get to that point. If I do, just paste the verses about gluttony on the back wall so I'm constantly reminded that I'm a sinner. But we see fasting is actually a very important part of the Christian life. And one of the things that I point that out for is when it comes to fasting, what you are literally doing is practicing facing temptation, but in a much more controlled environment, right? I mean, you think about if you're going to be a soldier and go out, we're talking about the armor of God in Sunday school right now, and you're going to go out and be a soldier in warfare. You want to run some drills before you actually have real bullets flying at you, right? You want to do some practice. You want to make sure that the things you learn stuck and that your armor works and your gun works. And you don't want to just walk out there day one of basic training and say, "Oh, instead of training you, we're just sending you over to Afghanistan. Good luck." You want some practice in a controlled environment that's a little safer. And really, that's fasting is exactly that when it comes to overcoming temptation in our lives in any way, because what fasting is telling your body no. When your body lusts after food and desires food, which is a natural desire, not a sinful desire, and you say no, you have practice and you realize just how strong that desire can be. I would always encourage the youth group back in Michigan, I would always encourage them, try to fast for one day, one 24-hour day. and just see how difficult it is for you. And then that just lets you know, it's a wake-up call of, wow, my flesh is strong. My desires are strong. And my faith may not be as strong as I thought it was. My ability to withstand those desires and those fleshly urges may not be as strong as I thought it was. But for the Christian, if we want to be able to face temptation and overcome it, fasting is literally practice at doing that. It may not be the same temptation as what you struggle with. It may not be a temptation of alcohol or a temptation of pornography or temptation of lying or cheating or stealing or killing or whatever it may be that is your temptation that you struggle with. But it is a practice run of telling yourself no to something that you really, really want. And so we see that the Lord, one of the things he did was he fasted. Now, we won't read the full account for time's sake here, but if we were to continue reading in Luke chapter 4, verses 3 through 13, we have the full story of the devil tempting the Lord again and again. And we'll just look at some highlights here. Of course, verse 3, "And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread." Now, if I'm putting myself in the shoes of the Lord here, being fasting 40 days, I'm more than ready for some bread. I am more than ready for some food. And being the Lord Jesus Christ here, we know that he has every ability to make that happen. Now, putting myself in those shoes, though, this is a multiple directional attack when it comes to temptation. It's not just you're hungry, have some food. It's also a temptation of pride because he says, if you're the Son of God, essentially prove it. And that just triggers in us, in mankind, that just triggers that pride, right? He's challenging who I am. He's challenging my abilities. He's challenging whether I can actually do something I know I can do. I'm going to show him. And so there's a temptation of multiple aspects there, but the Lord, of course, responds. Verse 4, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Then, of course, in verse 7, the devil tempts him again. "If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine." He shows him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment, and he says, "If you worship me, it'll all be yours." Verse 8, "And Jesus answered and said to him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And then, of course, his final attempt, the devil decides to use some scripture here. Verse 9, "He brought him to Jesus and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all temptation, he departed from him for a season." So we see a couple of very obvious things here in this discourse with the devil. First of all, the use of Scripture. The Lord Jesus Christ, every answer to the devil's temptations was Scripture. And that's not just because he was the Word of God manifest in the flesh. It's because that is a good thing for us to do ourselves and to remember ourselves. I'm not saying that, you know, you're walking in the grocery store and you look down that aisle and you're tempted. You just start quoting verses to nobody. That'd be a little strange. You can do it if you want to, but that's not what I'm talking about. What I mean is this scriptural knowledge that we see here with Christ is a help in temptation, at least for us, because if we will obey 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show proved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, the more we learn about the word of God, the more we learn verses about what God expects of us, what God desires of us, the more ammunition, I guess you could say, we have against our own temptations to know, okay, I am tempted right now. I know I want to do this right now, but this verse, this verse, this verse, and this verse tell me no. And it's just a reminder, it's that extra layer of protection of, I have to acknowledge now that if I do overcoming temptation, we have fasting as a kind of a practice that we can use or an aid that we can use to overcome and to build up that patience in our life to overcome temptation. And we have prayer. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 5. The Bible says, "Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency." Now, this is a verse that obviously the context is different than what we're looking at. He's giving them some advice about a certain situation in the church here, but he is saying the advice, what you need to do is fast, pray, and pray that Satan tempt you not. So there we have two of the three there, fasting and prayer, that Satan tempt you not. So what we understand about temptation is that it comes of our own lust. Our own lust is a source. Every temptation can be defeated. Temptation brings opportunity to try our faith. Fasting, scripture knowledge, and prayer. Those are the three main weapons we have to be able to defeat temptation in our lives. And then lastly, if you'll notice again with me, if you think back in your minds to Luke 4:13, since I had you turn away from there, when it says that the devil departed from him after all the temptations he could throw at him, after 40 days of temptations, and then those three that are listed in Scripture, says the devil departed from him for a season. He left, but he didn't leave for good. And you may get victory today over something that you haven't had victory over in a long time. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. But especially when it comes to temptation, boy, those things can just pop up in the least expected place. And then all of a sudden you find yourself in the midst of a spiritual battle you weren't expecting and maybe you weren't prepared for. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Temptation is a fact of life. While we are here in this sin-cursed world with sin-cursed bodies and with this flesh that wants what it wants, we are going to be tempted. The trouble is, are we going to care enough about living for Jesus? Are we going to care enough about living right that we defend ourselves against those temptations? Or are we just going to wing it? Say, you know what? When temptation comes, I'll deal with it. Good luck with that. Would you walk into any real physical battle and say, well, I'm just going to wing it. I'm not going to learn anything about my opponent. I'm not going to learn anything about how to fight or how to defend myself. I just, you know, when the bad guy shows up, I'll take care of it. That's not a very good strategy. That's not very wise. And yet with temptation, so often I believe we as Christians, we just forget that it's there. It's such a part of our lives. And sometimes we win some and sometimes we lose some. And that's just kind of the attitude we adopt is, well, you win some, you lose some. And we think, well, as long as I win more than I lose, I'm doing okay. You know, as long as I defeat temptation more than it defeats me, I'm doing okay. But the goal ought to be to remember the Lord said that you don't have to lose one single fight with temptation. And the trouble of it is we really never know where that temptation will lead us if we fall, how far we're going to fall. There are those who they were tempted one time and that temptation just opened up a door to a sinful life and they just ended up so much further than where they thought they could ever go, so much lower than they thought they could ever go, so much pain and suffering for them and their loved ones, more than they ever thought imaginable because they lost one battle to temptation and it just led them down this path. And so we have to remember and be confident as Christians to know, I'm going to be tempted today. Am I ready? Am I ready? Do I feel ready to be tempted? If not, I need to do some more praying before I step out of my door today, before I get out of my bed today. I need to do some more praying. Maybe I need to read some of my Bible. Maybe the Lord will have a verse just for me today, so when I face that temptation, I'll remember that verse. We got to wake up every morning as Christians ready to face temptation and win. Not just with the attitude of, well, I hope I win. Victory can be ours, but only if we go into it in the right attitude, the right mindset, ready for the fight. I would hope that everybody here today is saved. I hope that you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. I hope you know that you have a Bible reason to believe you're going to heaven when you die. I hope you believe the Word of God. I hope all those things. I pray all those things are true. But in a group of this size, in today's day and age, I'm sure there's probably somebody here that does not know for sure that they're saved. And maybe you are failing with temptation. And the reason isn't because you haven't done these things. It's because you don't have Christ. It's because you don't have God in your heart and in your life. And that's the first step to defeating temptation. You have to be saved. You have to have the Holy Spirit as your guide. And you have to have the Holy Spirit there to convict your heart and to tell you that temptation, that sin that you're being tempted with is wrong. And so I'd encourage you, the thing you need most today is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But maybe you're here today, and like most of us here, you probably maybe know the Lord. Maybe you have a confident Bible reason to know why you're going to heaven when you die. You're saved. You're blood-bought, born-again Christian. But the temptation thing is just, well, you know, it's just not that big a deal. It's just not that big a deal. If I fall to this temptation, it's not going to hurt me that bad. Whatever mindset we've adopted to help us to be complacent, We got to get rid of that. And we got to challenge ourselves. I'm not going to fail again. I'm not going to fall again. I'm going to go into my next day ready to face temptation so that I don't have to ask God every single time I pray, Lord, please forgive me. Don't you get tired of asking for forgiveness for the same thing again and again and again and again? I mean, I get impatient with my kids when they have to ask forgiveness for the same thing twice in one day. And it's so hypocritical of me when I think about my relationship with God. How often do I have to ask God forgiveness again and again? And praise God, thank the Lord, He will. He's not like me. He will forgive, He will forget, He will wash it in the blood, and we'll be clean. But just because He's willing to forgive us, does that mean we ought to not try? Ought to not stand against temptation? Ought to not do our best not to fall? Just because the Lord will pick us up doesn't mean we ought to go around looking for ways to trip. We ought to go around looking for ways to stand and fight that temptation and gain the victory. And just as I said, with the damage that can come from failing and falling into temptation, there's so much good that can come from getting victory over that thing, from not falling to temptation, from staying on the true path, from staying right with the Lord. There's so much benefit and good for the Christian in our walk with God if we'll win in those battles every day against temptation. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you didn't just tell us not to sin. Don't err, my beloved brethren. Lord, thank you gave us a way to help us to see temptation for what it is, or to see that battle coming and to be able to try to defend ourselves against that lust of our flesh, Lord, that so desperately wants to sin sometimes. Lord, I don't know the hearts and the minds of the people here, but you do, and you know exactly what maybe somebody's been struggling with, whether it be a certain sin or however, whatever it may be. Lord, I pray please just work on their hearts. Lord, help them to have a renewed zeal to try their best to not fail and not fall and not trip up so often to that sin, to that temptation. And Lord, we know that with you all things are possible. Lord, we pray please help us. Help us to live a life of victory over our sin and over our temptations. And Lord, if there's somebody here today that does not know you as their Savior, Lord, help them to understand before they leave today that they can know, they can be sure of their eternal destination.